From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kassel, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, filling in for Peter Sagal, Drew Carey.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, and thanks for wearing your name tags. Great show for you today. U.S. soccer star Abby Wambach will be joining us later to play Not My Job, which will take about 4 minutes. It will have more scoring than 90 minutes of soccer. I'm so excited to be hosting Wait, Wait this week. Thank you for the opportunity to ruin yet another beloved American game show. Alex Trebek, I know you're listening. Coming for you next. If you'd like to play our games, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Helen Morey from Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Helen, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
What do you do up in Seattle?
I'm an attorney and a mom to two great teenage girls.
That's nice. Do you work from home or do you go to work every day? What do you do?
I do actually work out of an office in my house, which makes the commute really nice.
Oh, nice, yeah. Hey, Helen, let's introduce you to our panel. First up, a comedian and host on Vocalo.org, Brian Babylon, everybody. Brian Babylon.
Hey, 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 hey.
Next, we have an editor and blogger at the Houston Chronicle, Kerry O'Connor. And an author and humorist and blogger at CarTalk.com, Tom Baudet.
Hello, Helen.
Welcome to the show, Helen. Now, with Halloween just around the corner, we're going to play Who's Carl Dressing Up As This Time? Now, he's going to tell you about three costumes based on this week's news. Guess the costume two times out of three, and you win our prize. Carl Kassel's spooky voice on your voicemail. Carl, you want to give us a sample?
Boo.
I am shaking in my shoes right now. You ready to play?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Good. Here's your first costume.
We're going to be a horse and a bayonet. I'm the back half of the horse.
That costume is a shout-out to the most memorable line at a big event that was held on Monday. What was the event?
It was the presidential debate.
Yes! Ding, ding, ding! I can't believe you got it on the first guess. The last presidential debate was supposed to be a conversation about foreign policy, but President Obama and Mitt Romney kept turning it back to the economy, jobs, and education here in the United States. Thankfully, moderator Bob Schaefer did an excellent job steering the debate back to issues America couldn't care less about, like foreign policy. Seriously, when's the last time you heard someone say, "Can you turn off the game? I want to watch the foreign policy." Hold all my calls unless it's about foreign policy. The worst is when your wife comes home early and you're watching foreign policy.
Well, you know the one thing I did take away from that was when I heard that Romney's son Tag had to go apologize to Obama because he said on some radio show they didn't want to take a swing at him. So yeah, he had, "Go apologize to the president, Tag. Sorry, Mr. President." And then Obama's like, "Now let's be clear, I would have kicked your ass." But how many bayonet and horses costumes will you guys see this Halloween? That's what I really think.
Halliburton is breeding war horses. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the horses and bayonets line. Wasn't the only zinger he got off. He also tried to some of the his open mic lines. Like at one point, he told Romney, "The 80s are calling. They want their foreign policy back." Governor Romney is going to be a great president. Not. It really got out of hand when Romney talked about how the deficit is the biggest he's ever seen. Obama jumped in, "Governor, that's what she said." Plus, they had a lot of references to Israel. For seeing they were really like trying to both pick up the same chick at the bar, you know.
Ooh, Fran Drescher?
Yeah. I don't know if you caught it, but Obama spent half the debate in a yarmulke. And there was a really awkward moment when Romney said, look, I'll circumcise myself right now. That's what you want? I'll do it right now. All right, Carl, what's your next costume idea?
I'm using last year's iPad costume, but I'm having it taken in a few sizes.
Okay, Helen, what's Carl going as?
Well, it has to be the new iPad Mini.
Wow, you're so good at this. I can't believe the iPad Mini.
So is the old iPad now called the MaxiPad?
Yes.
We've come back around to that joke, haven't we?
Yeah.
It makes sense now.
They always name their products after things that men are uncomfortable saying. On Tuesday, nerds from around the world emerged from their lockers to watch Apple CEO Tim Cook reveal the new groundbreaking iPad Mini. It's groundbreaking because it's bigger than an iPhone and slightly smaller than an iPad. It's the most exciting product launch since Fruit of the Loom invented Medium.
Well, you know who this is for. This is for the hobbits and you know... The hobbits are going to eat this up, man.
Yeah. This is for people that go to a diner and order half a sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 6/8 of a sandwich or whatever. This week's event was the first time we got to watch a live stream of the announcement as it happened. It was a rare window into the secret nerd cabal we've only heard about, their odd rituals and customs. Turns out it was a lot like other secret religious ceremonies, except with way more virgins. Way more virgins. Like three times as many virgins. Yeah, it's not as small as the iPhone, but it's still small enough that your dad will probably still try to wear it in a holster on his belt.
The good thing about the Mini is that new apps program, or that map program of theirs, is only half as bad.
All right, Carl, hey, what's your last costume?
Blue tights, red cape, bulging muscles. But this time it's just a costume.
All right, now, Carl is dressed up as a superhero who made some headlines this week. Who is it?
I think it's Superman who quit his job.
Yes! Wow, you're so good. We also would have accepted Clark Kent. We don't usually cover news from Metropolis on the show, but this is big. In the new issue, Clark Kent quits his job at the Daily Planet to start a blog.
See?
Yeah.
All the cool kids are doing it.
He's just fed up with the state of journalism. That's right. In a parallel universe where superheroes can fly and turn back time, they still can't figure out how to save newspapers.
You know.
Yeah.
But he's super. I don't understand why he worked in the first place.
I mean, yeah.
But I mean, I think he deserves it. You know, he head back now. He's got the Fortress of Solitude. He'll be there at the leotard rolled down. You know.
No, man.
Scratching and blogging about.
No way.
Is that how it works? Scratching and blogging.
This is an indication that that America is and we're going down, man. When Superman tunes out of everything, he's going to start wearing Toms. And he's gonna get a gross, you know, dreadlock hairdo, and he's gonna be allergic to gluten instead of kryptonite. Yeah. It's gonna be horrible.
Carl, how did Helen do?
Helen, congratulations! You had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Oh, thank you.
Helen, that was great. Hey, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Brian.
Yeah.
Hey, The Bucket List isn't just the title of a movie Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson made to get more money for prostitutes. No. It's actually a real concept, and according to the Daily Telegraph, everyone should have a bucket list, including whom?
Okay, give me a little bit.
Okay, hump a leg. Is definitely on that bucket list.
Dogs should have a bucket list.
Yes, exactly. Dogs.
Man.
Dogs. The Daily Telegraph published the list of 50 things every dog should do before it dies. Because nothing sells newspapers like reminding readers their beloved pets are going to die. On the list, 1, find a spot to sleep. 2, turn around. 3, turn around. 4, turn around. 5, turn around. 6, lie down.
Why? What? Is this a British newspaper?
Yes.
Of course. There you go. There we go.
I can't imagine the things they left off the dog bucket list.
Catching the bus, I think.
Catching the bus would be good, yeah. Yeah, this list was made by humans, of course, but dogs actually make their own bucket list. Number 26, eat a filet mignon or some vomit. I don't care. I'm a dog. Number 32, spay or neuter a human and see how they like it.
So this list had a 50-thing bucket list?
Yeah, some poor, which means like some poor writer. It was either some editor going, "Hey, we need space, do this."
Yeah, no, it was a freelancer. It was Superman up in the Fortress of Solitude. Yeah. Hey.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Brian Babylon, Kerry O'Connor, and Tom Baudette. And here again is your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Drew Carey.
Thanks, Carl.
Once again, I'm sorry, I'm not Peter. Now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Lewis Grimmer from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hi, Lewis, what's going on? Welcome to Wait, Wait.
Nothing much.
What do you do for a living, Lewis?
I do human resources and labor relations.
Oh, I did human resources on the Drew Carey Show. I hope you're better at it than I was.
You were a model.
Well, it's nice to have you with us, Lou. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. What's the topic, Carl?
That'll learn you.
Modern times call for modern parenting. These days, parents have to find new and even more horrible ways to discipline their children. Our panelists are going to read you 3 stories of parents inflicting modern forms of punishment on their kids. Guess the real one, and you'll win Carl's voice on your voicemail. First up, Kerry O'Connor.
It's a new media world out there, and that new world has all new ways for parents to mortify kids. A Wisconsin couple took the psychologist full employment program to new levels this week. To punish their daughter for being rude, they took away her cell phone for a week. So far, okay. But then the parents shot goofy photos of themselves, think crossed eyes, gang signs, duck face, and posted them on her Facebook page. Not enough? The girl's awful, awful, awful brother told her story on Reddit and congratulated his parents, concluding, "Doing it right." Somewhere in Wisconsin, there is a young girl about to clue her parents in to her brother's secret stash of porn.
That was the parental Facebook posting story from Kerry O'Connor. Your next story of parents bringing down the hammer comes from Brian Babylon. Brian?
Last month, Rebecca Scrack of Studio City, California, got a call from her daughter Nikki's school. Turns out, young Nikki was taking pictures of her classmates using an app called ZitPic and posting them online. ZitPic takes perfectly normal photos of junior high students and makes them even more worse and awkward by adding giant red zits and a hint of mustaches on their upper lip. When Rebecca found out, she did what any mom in Southern California would do. She turned to Hollywood for help. Quote, "I really wanted to teach her a lesson, so I called my close friend Rich Baker, a special effects makeup artist who worked on movies like Men in Black and my favorite movie of all time, Eddie Murphy's The Nutty Professor, Part 2, The Clumps." The makeup adhered right on the skin, looked like she had not washed her face in 5 years. One of the zits actually had a zit on top of it. After a weekend of this public humiliation, young Nikki Scrack got the message. She has since joined the Science Club.
So that was the ZitPic app story from Brian Babylon. Your last story of timeout in the age of technology comes from Tom Baudette. Tom?
Oscar Corson was a good kid. Everybody said so. "He's a good kid," said his teachers at Maplewood, New Jersey High School. "I wish we had more like him." "He's a good kid," said his soccer coach, minister, flight instructor, French tutor, and paper route manager. He's a good kid, said his parents, Rich and Kim, who rewarded their good kid's good kidness on his 16th birthday with a brand new powder blue BMW Z4. And then it went bad. He climbed behind the wheel, and I saw him change from Frodo into Gollum before the engine warmed up. He and his precious burned rubber out of the driveway and didn't come home for 12 hours. There was a crease in the door, 4 speeding tickets, and a reckless driving citation for turning donuts on the school soccer field. The kid's a jerk, said his teachers. Total butt cheek, said his soccer coach. The next morning, Oscar woke up to another surprise in the driveway. His parents had bolted a lighted signboard to the roof of his Beamer like you'd see on a pizza delivery car. But instead of advertising pizza, the sign glares, "Am I driving like an ass? Call my parents," followed by the Corson's phone number. It was a clear case of automobile poisoning, said Kim. This should be the antidote. Maybe. The Z4 hasn't left the driveway in 2 weeks, and Oscar has been seen helping old ladies on and off the city bus on his way to and from school. He's a good kid, said Metro bus driver David Snyder. I wish we had more like him.
All right, Lewis, you've got the Curie with the parenting Facebook, where they put their pictures on their kids' Facebook page. Brian with the ZitPick app, and Tom with the good kid with the Z4 that probably should have been a 3 Series. What's the real story?
Oh, boy, they're all very intriguing parenting strategies. I think I'm going to go with 2 because it's the only one that has some basis in reality.
All right, number 2, the story about the ZitPick app. To find out the correct answer, we spoke with a journalist who covered the real story.
They posted shots on their teen daughter's Facebook page. The father's cross-eyed, the mother looks like she's drunk far too much gin. I guess the parents thought they were being modern and amusing.
That was Chris Matistra, creator of CNET News Blog. I'm sorry, Lou, but Curie O'Connor had the real answer. So sorry.
Sorry, Lewis. You just have to go back to beating your children.
I didn't believe Brian because the family thought the Clumps was better than Men in Black. That's
yeah.
The one that, Lewis, thanks for playing with us. Take care,
you're
okay?
Welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we invite on big names and ask them little questions. U.S. soccer player Abby Wambach is a multiple gold medalist. She holds the best goals per game ratio in U.S. soccer history. And she's just been nominated for FIFA Women's World Player of the Year. You know, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a huge soccer fan and Peter Sagal is not. So I'm... really excited to say this. Abby Wambach, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. So listen, as I mentioned, I'm a huge soccer fan. My number one favorite sport, and Peter Sagal isn't. So I guess my first question is, what's wrong with him and everyone else who isn't a soccer fan?
That's a great question. Yeah. Soccer is one of those sports that is just... it obviously is the world's game. It's the most popular sport played around the world, but... I like it because there's really isn't a set play. You go out and it's a bunch of people trying to get on the same page because you got to know your teammates, you got to know your strengths and your weaknesses, and ultimately that one goal. I know it's not the American style. Few goals is the way soccer is meant to be played. It's a cerebral game, and I really appreciate that part of it.
I think they should give 7 points for every goal so everybody else could understand it, and they'll be like, "All right, 21-7, woo!" Really about a game. Now, you've been a part of many really exciting moments in soccer history. You had a great header during overtime to beat Brazil in the World Cup. Twice you've had headers in overtime to beat Brazil. Do they hate you in Brazil?
I think so. I think that they're going to ban me from crossing the line, whether it be Olympics in 2016 or the 2014 Men's World Cup.
Yeah, didn't you win like the 2011 ESPY Play of the Year award?
Yeah, that was
from ESPN.
It was pretty special, you know. I mean, not to mention it's against Brazil. you know, they have a tendency to sometimes, you know, go down and rise in pain and waste time and the gamesmanship stuff. And it kind of came back to bite them because...
Punching people in the eye. Yeah. Oh, sorry, that was Columbia. I got to get my
throat mixed up.
Now, what do you think you'd be doing if you weren't a soccer player? Like, because you've been playing since you were 4 years old. And I understand you had to move to a boys' team after you scored 27 goals in 3 games when you were a kid.
Yeah, my parents were the kind of people that didn't want me to get a big head, so they just kept challenging me and challenging me. But what I would do if I weren't playing soccer, truthfully, I have no freaking clue. I mean, I love what I do. I'm going to play until I possibly can't play anymore, and at that point I'll decide.
What was your major when you were in college?
You know, I was probably mostly majored in playing soccer, honestly.
Female athletes are just like the male athletes, aren't they?
Abby, this is Tom. I just, you know, as the father of boys who play sports and as a hockey dad who's up to my eyeballs in the sport, I have to say what I appreciate about soccer is the lack of equipment. This hockey bag that my 7-year-old carries around, you could put two of him in the bag. Have you played since you were just a little mite like that?
Yeah, I have. I have played pretty young, and you know, I played all sports growing up, but that's also the best part about playing soccer is all you need is a ball. You know, you can get two trees in your backyard, and there you go, you got a goal.
Yeah, now, listen, like, speaking of hockey and equipment and all that stuff, you're not wearing anything but your uniform when you're playing. And I have to ask you, you've had your share of injuries. You want to run down just a few of your injury highlights?
Yeah, I've had a few interesting moments. Broke my leg, tib fib, have a rod in my leg now. Got punched in the face. I've had multiple stitches put in my head from getting headed by other opponents.
What is this, Fight Club?
She's like the toughest soccer player I've ever seen. She literally, like, when she went up for a header once and collided with this other player from Brazil, and when she landed, her head was bleeding so much, they came on the field during the game with a stapler and stapled her skin together, which I can't see Landon Donovan doing that. Not the face, you know what I mean?
I guess not.
Yeah, what was that like, getting your face stapled together in the middle of a game? Like, what were you thinking?
I don't know. It was the end of the game, and we needed to win that game to qualify for the World Cup. It was actually, in fact, it was against Mexico, not Brazil. And it was in the last few minutes. I think it was almost an extra time, so I was just like, let's go, like, staple it up, you know, and your adrenaline's kicking so much that you don't really feel it. And
Staple it up.
Listen, you know, you know, a lot of people, if they don't know soccer, they think soccer players are notorious for flopping, so you realize you don't have to go that far, right?
I do, and I think that the fact that women and myself included, you know, if we're getting staples on the field, we're trying to make Americans know that a lot of the South American countries, they're pretty much more known for flopping than the Americans. Like to stand strong and show the American people that soccer is a physical contact sport, but we're not floppers.
Some of your teammates have made fun of you for being a bad dancer. Now, how can you be so good with your feet and be a bad dancer?
Oh, that's easy.
Well, I call it I'm the best worst dancer on the team. You know, I still win that award. I don't know. I never was given the gift of dance, and honestly, I'm more of a big target forward, so I would actually even question my ability with the ball at my feet and my technical ability as well.
Yeah, you score a lot of goals with your head. Yeah, right.
I do. I'm pretty much brain dead at this point.
Now, I'm also a big fan of Hope Solo. If you were to arm wrestle Hope Solo, who would win?
I think she would win. She's got guns, you know what I'm saying?
So do you.
I've got the weight. I've got her on the weight category, but she uses her hands and is pretty fit.
What if you each had a stapler?
Well, Hope had a shoulder surgery a couple years ago, and so she's got a few pins in her shoulder, so I think we've got equally as many. I mean, and she actually got hung up on a goalpost once, and her whole forearm is totally scarred because she had to have hundreds of stitches to put her arm back together. It was actually pretty nasty.
What are you ladies doing?
Yeah. Yeah. You hear that? Everybody has their little girl playing soccer?
Right.
That's what happens to you.
Well, hey, that equipment bag of my son's for hockey is looking pretty good all of a sudden.
Yeah. Now, are you okay being around after a loss? Are you really mad? Are you good after, like, really happy after a win, really sad after a loss? What's it like?
Yeah, well, after a win, most of us are probably just we expect to win because we've been winning for so many years. And after a loss, it's very, very quiet on the team bus ride back to the hotel. And all of us are trying to think through what happened and how do we fix this? How do we not get to this point again? And yeah, you don't want to get really close to me because I'm steaming. I'm upset.
Oh, well, the reason I wanted to know how you are after win or how you are after loss, we've asked you here to play a little game. We've asked you to play a little game we're calling...
You're good at soccer, but can you carry your young in a pouch?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'm almost glad you're not here to punch me. Your name is Abby Wambach, so it sounds like wombat, which, of course, means you'll know everything about them. We're going to ask you three questions about the cuddly marsupials, the wombats. Get two right, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their voicemail. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Carl, who's Abby Wambach playing for?
Abby is playing for Lakshmi Shamagan of Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
Okay, Abby, here's your first question about wombats. Despite their cute, cuddly appearance, wombats have inspired some creepy tributes, including which of these? A, an Iraqi Little League team called the Saddam Bats. B, a short-lived DC comic series called Wombatman and Wombin. Or C, a fan group for the bloody video game Mortal Kombat called Mortal Wombat.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go C.
C, Mortal Wombat. You are correct. Yes, Mortal Wombat. One out of three. Next question. Wombats have an amazing defense advantage. What is it? A, their butts are indestructible. B, they wear glasses. You wouldn't hit a marsupial with glasses, would you? Or C, they have a ton of horses and bayonets.
I'm going to go A.
A, yes, their butts are indestructible. When pursued, they dive headfirst into a hole and wait for the predator to bite their butt. Once he's latched on, they kick him until he's dead or loses interest.
What do you mean indestructible? Like
they're made out of cartilage.
Oh.
Yeah, indestructible.
Yeah,
they act just like my old girlfriend.
I thought that would be the wrong answer because no butt is indestructible.
Yeah, well... all right, two out of three. Here's your last question. Let's go for a clean sweep. What do wombats and supermodels have in common? A, they both spend most of the day sleeping in their burrows. B, both take 2 weeks to digest their food. C, both are nocturnal and tend to feed on grasses, roots, and bark. D, all of the above.
I'm going to say... D.
Yes, all of the above. Carl, how'd you do?
Well, Abby had three correct answers, so she wins our prize for Lakshmi Shamagan.
Now listen, the U.S. Women's National Team is out on their fan tribute tour. You can catch them next against Ireland on November 28th in Portland, Oregon. Abby Wambach, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks, Abby. Good luck.
Take care. See you, Abby. Thank you.
I don't care what they say or do. I just want to kick it around with you. Oh, no. We're kicking it around.
Thanks, Carl. Once again, I'm sorry I'm not Peter. There goes our Yelp ratings. Oh, well. In a minute, Carl reenacts his favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Rhyme Cop, in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, please give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from this week's news. Tom, scientists in Italy recently discovered that the air in several major Italian cities is filled with what?
Is filled with... microwave radiation. That was
now,
a serious
can I give you a hint?
Yes, please.
This explains why Rome smells like Snoop Dogg's sheets. Sorry, Snoop Lion Sheets.
Thank you.
Sorry, Andrew.
Thank you.
Snoop who?
Yeah.
That wasn't much of a hint for a cultural idiot. God, I picked a bad week to go on a news fast.
How about Bob Marley Sheets?
Bob Marley Sheets, yeah.
There you go.
Filled with pot?
Drugs. Close
drugs.
Enough, yeah. Yeah. There's so many drugs in Rome's air that Vatican City is turning into Burning Man.
Now, are these opiates or just pot?
Well, it's the study of they studied the ambient air in 8 of Italy's major cities, and it revealed the traces of marijuana and cocaine are in the air. Yeah, it makes you wonder what the puff of white smoke coming out of the Vatican is.
But the thing is,
don't come in. I'm electing a new pope.
How much coke can you do where it's in the air? Like, that's a lot of coke.
Yeah, they actually, when you check into a hotel in Italy, they give you an extra towel you can roll and put under the door.
and a mirror.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So you know what? You know, it makes perfect sense. That's why the Mario Brothers are always flying around.
Yeah.
Come on, Luigi. Ah! Yeah, that, I got it. Yeah. Got it.
Well, and I've got a better excuse for why I paid so much for that leather coat in Florence on our honeymoon.
Yeah, it begs the question, why isn't the Catholic Church cooler? The Pope is the most high? Yeah. Tom, it's been a wild couple weeks for Massachusetts man Sadeep Singh. First, his girlfriend dumped him. Then, before he could fully comprehend how heartbroken he was, what happened?
Something bad.
Not necessarily.
He was
right after his girlfriend dumped him.
Right after his girlfriend dumped him.
Here's a hint. There's nothing like a pint of Ben & Jerry's, a Lifetime movie marathon, and $30 million to help get over a breakup.
Oh, my goodness. He won the lottery.
Yes. Yeah. He won the lottery.
Which has also been known to ruin lives.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it ruined his
life. Sadeep, don't get too excited.
Did I mention this happened the day after his girlfriend dumped him? Because he probably mentions it to everyone he sees. Yeah.
You think she calls him back now?
Yeah. I wonder.
I might have been too, I don't know, hard on him.
I love you. He's getting a lot of late-night texts. Mr. Singh chose to receive the $30 million in a lump sum so he could rub it in all at once instead of rubbing it in once a year for 20 years. Oh, man. Can you imagine? His ex-girlfriend, by the way, could not be reached for comment because there's terrible cell phone reception on her ledge. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank. But first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Milwaukee, November 15th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, my name is Mark Treneseau.
Hey, Mark, where are you from?
Wakefield, Rhode Island.
Oh, all the way from Rhode Island. What do you do in Rhode Island?
I help run my family company, and I'm also a writer.
Oh, really? What kind of stuff do you write?
Working on screenplays.
Oh, good for you. We have a couple bloggers here, so you guys probably have a lot in common.
Our fortresses of solitude.
Welcome to the show, Mark. Now, Carl Castle is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each one. Okay. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on 2 limericks, you're a winner. Here's your first limerick.
Quoth Ahab while raising the sail, who dares to proclaim epic fail? The shipmates say, sir, we sailors concur. The one you heard speak was the...
Gosh, I don't know.
Sail, fail...
Whale?
Whale! Yes, you got it, whale. Researchers in California recently released tape of a beluga whale named Nosy making human sounds. Nosy taught himself to mimic speech, something that no other beluga whale had done on its own. Here's what he sounds like. Like... Yes. Apparently, Nosy also learned how to play the kazoo.
I love that it's so clearly mockery.
Yeah. He sounds wasted.
Here's your next limerick.
My love life's a galaxy's far speck, and dates are a bit of a car wreck. My final frontier is to find a mate here, so dates for me focus on...
Dates for me focus on...
Galaxy, final frontier. Star Trek, yes! Star Trek. Got it, Star Trek. A new website has been created to allow Trekkies to boldly go where we're pretty sure they've never gone before. On a date. TrekkieDating.com connects Star Trek fans with other real-life human beings, possibly of the other sex. It's a great, much-needed resource, except when you consider there's already a Trekkie dating site called the Internet.
I don't know, man. That sounds... I'll try it out.
Okay, here's your last limerick.
Check out creepymotelstay.org. So much death for one place to absorb. Premium cable, dissecting table. A hostel that once was a...
morgue.
Yes! Morgue. Ooh. Yeah, just in time for Halloween. Tasmanian hotelier Hayden Pierce... he's transformed a 1950s morgue named Willow Court into the world's first morgue hotel. Guests sleep on the original concrete slabs and have access to pull-out fridges, perfect for storing food, vodka, and their vital organs. It has all the amenities. You can get room service delivered to your drawer. You can get your suits pressed and slit up the back. And when you want privacy, just hang a Do Not Disturb sign from your big toe. You know, Tom, a good slogan for this place would be, we'll leave your head on for you.
Yeah.
Tom, you want to give that a shot?
The Deep Six Morgue Hotel. We'll leave your head on for you. Okay, there goes the job.
Carl, how did Mark do?
Well, Mark had three correct answers, so Mark, I'll be doing the message on your answering machine or voicemail.
Oh, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Tom Beaudet has the lead. He has 3 points. Brian Babylon has 2. Kerry O'Connor has 1.
So, Kerry O'Connor, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, former Secretary of State Colin Powell endorsed blank for a second term.
Barack Obama.
Yes. Saying they'd engaged in brazen mortgage fraud, on Wednesday, federal prosecutors filed a $1 billion lawsuit against blank.
Bank of America.
Yes. To once again refute charges that he's dead, former Cuban leader blank said Monday he's, quote, so healthy he doesn't even remember what a headache is.
Fidel Castro.
Yes. After a strong third quarter showing, on Wednesday, stock for the social network blank jumped 20%.
Facebook.
Yes. On Thursday, Barack Obama became the first president to take advantage of early blank.
Voting.
Yes. And tying up the traffic all over Chicago. Because of Mitt Romney's attack on PBS, costume stores report that their blank costumes are selling out.
Big Bird.
Yes. The makers of Banana Boat Sunscreen have issued a recall after some users reportedly blanked after using it.
Died.
Worse. They caught on fire. Yeah. To be clear, the banana boat sunscreen won't spontaneously combust. It has to come into contact with a flame or spark, at which point you go up like the last scene in every stuntman's highlight reel. So if you're worried about the sun burning your skin, banana boat has a solution. No more skin. Banana boat has apologized and said the Kingsford line of sunscreens probably wasn't a good idea in the first place. Carl, how did Kiri do?
Kiri had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 13 points and the lead.
Okay, Brian, you're up next.
Yes.
Fill in the blank. In what he said would be a game-changing announcement Wednesday, blank offered President Obama $5 million for his college transcripts.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. The TSA announced this week that in New York and many other large airports, they will be replacing the invasive blank.
X-ray scanner.
Yes. Cities along the East Coast braced for a possible hit next week by the blank currently hitting Cuba.
Hurricane.
Yes. This week, the San Francisco Giants and the Detroit Tigers faced off in this year's blank.
World Series.
I know it's easy, but it's NPR. A Texas woman got out of one day of work by simply blanking.
Fainting.
No, she tied herself up, leaving herself in a field to fake her own kidnapping. True story. After Monday's debate, Mitt Romney's son Tag apologized to blank for saying he wanted to take a swing at him.
Obama.
Yes. In his first live television appearance in 20 years, Guns N' Roses singer blank appeared on the Jimmy Kimmel Show on Wednesday.
Axl Rose?
Yes. How about that? A team of paleontologists have discovered our earliest human ancestor was a blank.
Shrew.
No, starts with an S. A squirrel.
Isn't that a shrew?
Got me.
A shrew was a squirrel. Squirrel in my community, man. I don't know, man. On the south side, a shrew was a squirrel.
Scientists have unveiled the Purgatorius, which is not where you go when you die in Latin class. It's a tiny rodent-like primate that scurried across phone lines 65 million years ago. This little critter had large claws and a bushy tail, directly linking it to the Kardashians, who are, oddly enough, perfectly adapted to store nuts.
And that's true.
Carl, how did Brian do?
Brian had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Brian has taken the lead.
Whoa, watch out. Watch out. Oh, no. And, Carl, how many does Tom need to win?
6 correct answers.
6 correct answers. Okay, Tom, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. On Monday, blank was officially stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles and banned for life.
Lance Armstrong.
Yes. Because of the Muslim holiday, the army command in blank agreed to a ceasefire over the weekend.
Syria.
Yes. On Thursday, Microsoft officially launched their new operating system, blank.
Windows 8.
Yes. On Wednesday, it was reported that credit card thieves had tampered with swipe pads in 63 blank stores in 9 states.
Hooters.
Barnes & Noble. 6 Italian seismologists and 1 government official were convicted of manslaughter this week for failing to predict a blank.
A earthquake.
Yes. In an appearance on The Tonight Show Wednesday, President Obama said that his differences with Donald Trump go back to their childhood days in blank.
What was that? I don't think he said Kenya. Kenya.
Yes! yes, you can. A man is suing the New York Public Library after they kicked him out because he is blank.
A really smelly person.
Yes, he was stinky. First of all, this isn't the stinky old man at your library. This is a different stinky old man at a different library. Mr. Stillman, a Korean War veteran and long-distance runner, insists he has no body odor, but you don't want to see someone coming out of the library going, "Do not go in there." Woo! Got to give it 5 minutes. It's true that most people can't smell their own stink, which is why the Cleveland Browns continue to play every Sunday. No other way to explain it. Carl, did Tom do well enough to win?
He needed six correct answers, and he had six correct answers. So with 15 points, Tom Baudette is this week's champion.
Congratulations.
Can I just say, so we still not letting me get that shrew. That shrew story. That's cool, man.
It sounded shrew-like to me in the description.
I know, very shrewish. In a minute, we'll ask our panelists the next superhero to make a major life change. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world. On the web at Hewlett.org. American Jewish World Service, pursuing global justice through grassroots change at AJWS.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Wolchover and Emily Ecton. Special thanks this week to Heather Ann Campbell and Blaine Kapach. Technical direction, Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what superhero will change their life next? Brian Babylon.
The Wonder Twins find out that they have not been related at all and start dating.
Kerry O'Connor.
After watching Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, Captain America changes his name to Captain Canada.
Tom Baudette.
Dr. Bruce Banner is mad as hell about GMOs, and the Hulk isn't going to take it anymore. Everybody's lovable rage monster goes on a worldwide tour to raise awareness about the dangers of genetically modified organisms.
Well, if the superheroes do any of that, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thank you also to Tom Baudette, Kerry O'Connor, and Brian Babylon. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Drew Carey, filling in for Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week on The Price is Right. This is NPR.